After marking yesterday's 50th anniversary of Brown v. Board of Education, civil rights activists and their opponents are preparing for future battles. Among the activists is the new director counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Theodore Shaw was recently promoted to the job once held by the man who argued that school desegregation case in 1954, Thurgood Marshall.
I sit every day at his desk. He had a massive desk, and I still use it.
Attorney Theodore M. Shaw works at a time when traditional civil rights groups are on the defensive. Instead of battling segregation, they fight challenges to affirmative action, as they did in a recent case involving the University of Michigan.
I would have chosen another time in some respects, the time in which we were on the offensive, like in Thurgood's day. But this is my time. This is our time. And the cause is still the same.
When it comes to affirmative action programs, they have been upheld by the Supreme Court, but narrowly and with some modifications in recent years. Who's got the ball there now?
Well, there the ball goes back and forth. The attack on the University of Michigan was an attack on the use of race in any way in admissions. And the court ruled 5-4 in the law school case that diversity is a compelling state interest that justifies the consideration of race and admissions. And at bottom, the question was whether it was still possible to do anything consciously and voluntarily to produce racial diversity.
Your predecessor, Elaine Jones, was criticized for her handling of that case. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that criticism, but I want to lay it out first simply because it seems to point to the intensely political environment in which
Sure.
you have to work. There was a memo that surfaced in which it was alleged that Elaine Jones was asking for one of President Bush's nominees to a judgeship be delayed because the nominee was conservative and it was feared that this judge would tip the balance in the Michigan case.
The allegation was that Elaine had called Senator Kennedy's office. Now, there was a bar complaint filed against her. That complaint has been dismissed because it is within the First Amendment rights of an individual to call a senator and say, we don't want to have somebody with certain views appointed to a court. This is an ugly, ugly environment that we're in. I wish that we could be more civil, but we're not going to lay down for the appointment of judges who are going to turn back the clock when it comes to civil rights.
So she did make the call campaigning against the judge, but she was found guilty of no wrongdoing for having
done so. You know
what?
You may find this hard to believe. I never even asked Elaine whether she made that call. The bar in Virginia found that if she did make the call, that it's not a violation of ethical rules in any way.
These days, when you're before a judge at a circuit level, at an appellate level, whatever it is, are you asking yourself, who appointed this guy? What's his ideology? What's his background?
You know, unfortunately, yes. We are conscious of who's on the bench, who's been appointed, what their record is, and what their ideology is. When I was in law school, I was taught that judges donned their robes and took off everything that they were. That's not the way life really works. I think that what we should ask for is not for people to step outside of who they are, but understanding who they are, still to be fair-minded.
Do you see another big case on the horizon that, when it gets to the Supreme Court, when the Supreme Court rules, might affect race relations in America in a significant way?
That's a very astute question because it brings me back to the Michigan cases. You know, the Michigan cases affirmed affirmative action on a diversity ground, as I indicated. But there are a range of programs for African-American students, for Latino students, particularly for African-Americans, scholarship programs, pipeline programs, all kinds of programs that have been established to undo the great legacy of massive inequality that our history has produced. Those programs are not resting, for the most part, on diversity. Those are remedial programs. And in the aftermath of Michigan, our adversaries have been attacking these programs, and there's going to be another case. And I think the question is going to be nothing less than whether it is legal and constitutional in this country to voluntarily and consciously do anything about racial inequality. Because if our adversaries are right, then we can't do that any longer, and that would be a disaster.
Mr. Shaw, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Theodore M. Shaw is Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.